Welcome to Manager Tools. Years ago, folks, we had a product called Effective Relationships, and we did an introduction to DISC, but it was part of that series, and it was a paid series. With the introduction of MT DISC a few months ago, and we're kind of been overwhelmed by the response, largely, I think, because the price went down to $30, we realized we needed to release this and talk about how MT DISC is different and so on. So in this cast, we'll give you a broad overview of MT DISC. Hope you enjoy it.
Welcome to Effective Relationships, DISC Overview. The purpose of this cast is to explain what DISC is and to give you some ideas of the different styles so that when we start talking about them in detail, or if you listen to more podcasts from Manager Tools or Career Tools, you will understand the framework in which we're talking about the different profiles and how they act in different circumstances.
Folks, I'm going to throw you a curveball here. And since you're listening to our introduction and overview of MT DISC, our brand new product, I thought I'd give you an ad for MT DISC. Why wouldn't I? We made DISC, which we previously got from another vendor and with whom we did not have a good relationship with. We made it ourselves. We tested it and we're excited about it. And it's simpler because we got rid of the numbers, which confuse people enormously. It's smarter because it focuses more on how you can change your behavior rather than saying, hey, this is who you are, which is what DISC was never intended to do. And then lastly, cheaper. The previous vendor's product is now $80. Ours is $30. We make less on every sale than we used to, and we don't care because Mike and I want to have DISC in the hands of as many people as possible. Probably the most important thing I ever learned in my professional career. Blew me away. And that was a long time ago. Still valuable to me today. So come to the website, sign up, take an MT DISC, and let me know. Send me a mail and let me know what you think.
DISC is the most effective tool that we've ever found for looking at the behavioral tendencies of you and the people around you, understanding what that means, and then being able to adapt your behavior in order to communicate more effectively. We're going to give you a broad understanding of the DISC model and how it works, and then we're going to give you some vignettes of the different profiles. So there's four different profiles, D, I, S, and C, which is why DISC is called DISC. And we're going to give you those vignettes. There's nothing actionable in this cast. It's just description so that you can get an idea of what DISC is and how you can use it. The outline for this cast is, what is DISC? What can you do with this information? And the vignettes of the four styles. So we're going to start with, what is DISC?
We've been talking about this for years. Let's recap, though. DISC is a four-quadrant behavioral model, which we use to enhance the effectiveness of communication with others. That is, we look at behavioral characteristics, and we use those characteristics to analyze an individual's styles. Now, y'all know we focus a lot on behaviors. Behaviors are the words they say, the way they say them, facial expression, body language, and work product. Understanding someone's DISC profile can help us understand what is truly important to them, how they view the world, and how they're likely to react in response to our own style.
So DISC tells us about the way we behave when we're not thinking about it. So it's our kind of natural state. It's how we behave when we're hanging out with friends, how we are at home, how we are when we're alone. But we all change our behavior to suit the circumstances. Most of us, if we go into church, are quiet and respectful, and we don't behave the same way that we might do in a nightclub, for example. But there's still a spectrum within which we behave, and that kind of spectrum can be analyzed by people outside of us by looking at what we're doing and fitting us into these profiles.
And it goes beyond our personal lives, right? We're obviously here to talk about work kind of stuff. Many of us already change our behavior at work. At work, we tend to be a little bit more controlled, a little bit more subservient.
A little bit less likely to say the thing that best pops in our
head. Yeah, right? We do the things that our boss asked us to do, regardless of whether or not we think that's the best way to do it.
Exactly.
We do. Mm-hmm. We're a little bit more likely at work to go with the majority. Right? We're influenced by other people, because we know we're part of a group or a team or a unit, and it can't always be our way. We're potentially a little bit louder. Some of us, a little bit quieter. Right? Some people are a little bit more reserved. We move a little bit faster at work. Others of us, though, move a little bit slower at work. And all of those different things, we can use the DISC tool to help us understand. That is, DISC helps us to change our behaviors according to the people we're with. Instead of our default mode, right? That is, choosing a work mode based on our thoughts about what we should be like in the workplace, we can choose instead a work mode that's more effective based on the individuals with whom we're communicating.
So DISC is a four-quadrant model. So we need a model that fits in D, I, S, and C, which are four things. So if you think of a squared circle and you bisect it with a vertical line and then bisect it with a horizontal line. So a squared circle is like the apps on your phone. It's a square with rounded corners. And then the bisected lines is like if you were going to cut a birthday cake for four people, a horizontal line and a vertical line. And that gives you four quarters, but it also gives you two hemispheres. So there's a left hemisphere, a left half and a right half. And then there's an upper hemisphere and a lower hemisphere, sort of an upper half and a lower half. And initially we're going to talk about the hemispheres and then we'll talk about the quarters, as it were. We're going to work down. This would be much easier to understand if you could see the image. So if you go back to where you found this podcast on the website, so in the Effective Relationships product section where it says view your product, and you will see the DISC overview, the button where you can play it, but it also says show notes. And if you click that, you hear the text of what we're saying, not a transcript, but the detail of what we're saying. And in that, there is an image. So you can look at the image and listen to us at the same time. It will make way more sense.
Okay. So now let's say you're looking at the image. Let's say you're looking at this 2x2 matrix. The lines represent the different ways that people analyze their surroundings. The horizontal line that cuts in half the squared circle in top and bottom hemispheres represents one's sense of power. All of those individuals on the top half of that squared circle, in the upper hemisphere, we'll say, we think of these people, we call them in terms of DISC, the Ds and the Is. They feel that they are more powerful than their environment. They feel that they have a degree of control over their surroundings and are able to bend those surroundings to their will. These are individuals which we call assertive. On the bottom of the circle then, the lower hemisphere, those are the individuals whom we call in terms of DISC, the S's and C's, who feel less powerful than their surroundings. They see the world as a huge place where they have very little influence over things beyond their control. These people are the individuals whom we'd call reserved. It's important here to mention, though, neither of these is correct. That is, neither's right nor wrong. They're just simply different.
Just two different ways of looking at the world.
Mm-hmm.
So the vertical line, now squared circle, divides those on the left who are task focused from those on the right who are people focused. And again, they have different ways of looking at the world. The people who are task focused think about the task first and the people second. When they meet someone, they tend to wait to find out whether or not that person has value to them or is useful or does things. They don't want to be friends immediately.
Yeah, trust here is earned.
Exactly. The people who are people-focused, so on the right-hand side, those people are the people who, the moment they meet you, you're a new friend. They think of the people first, and then they think of the task afterwards. So if you ask them to organize something, they'll say, oh yeah, I'll ask Robert and Jane and Peter. And they won't tell you, but we need to buy this, this, and this for the party. They'll tell you who they're going to invite first. They find a friend, and later, if they get burned by that person, then they decide they're not going to be friends.
Yeah, trust is given, potentially maybe revoked, if you hurt me enough times.
Exactly. So there's no right or wrong. It's just two different ways of looking at the world.
Mm-hmm. So Let's go around the horn. I don't know if that translates in all the languages. We're going to go around the circle, starting with D's. D stands for dominance, is in the top hemisphere and left hemisphere. And that is, if you're envisioning your squared circle, top left corner. They're assertive and they're task focused. Then to the right of that are the eyes, the top assertive hemisphere, and on the right, people focused hemisphere. S's have in common with the eyes the fact that they're people focused. Envisioning on that squared circle, the S directly below the eye, since they're in the bottom hemisphere as they're reserved. And the C's, they're on the bottom left corner. That is, they're in the task focused hemisphere and on the bottom, so they're reserved.
And it's the combination of task and people and assertive and reserved that gives each style their particular set of behaviors. So each style has something in common with two of the others. They're either both reserved, both assertive, or they're both people focused and both task focused. And there's one quadrant where you have nothing in common, and those are the people that are hardest to work with. That doesn't mean you can't, it just means it's more difficult. And again, there isn't a best profile. There isn't even a best profile for each job. It's every one of us has strengths and weaknesses, and every one of us can change the way we act if we want to.
Mm-hmm. So next up then, let's talk about your results document. At this point, when you've taken your MT disc, you'll find out what quadrant your preferred behaviors fall into. I should say quadrant or quadrants, because you could potentially have two strong quadrants, but you'll be told in your assessment. But the thing about the assessment is, while that's valuable information,
it's super interesting because, like, it's about me.
Right? Exactly. I know. And that really helps for the D's of us out there. If you're in Wendy's in my camp, we really like reading stuff about us. We like us. Now, the important part, though, of the assessment goes beyond ourselves. That is, you do need to read it in order to understand yourself, but don't stop reading after you've understood you. In the subsequent pages, what you'll find is more information about how you can work more, how to have better relationships with, how to increase trust between yourself and others. You'll understand how other people approach email and meetings and conflict, as well as a bunch of other situations and things that will help you behave onto the world. And it will help you understand what you can do differently to make those interactions with others who don't share your profile go more smoothly.
And each one is customized to your profile. So there isn't one output document that everybody gets. You get one that's just for you, and it's customized for you and for you to work with others who are not like you. So the D's get how to work with I's, S's, and C's. But they don't get how to work with other D's because
we know
we work the same. We don't need that. Whereas the I's get how to work with D's because they're different.
Absolutely. Now, the detailed pages, I should mention, that Wendy's referring to are divided into different parts, right? The first section is going to be how you work with bosses, managers, potentially, who are yours, who have a profile that's not matching yours. And in turn, or the additional pages then, with directs who have profiles that aren't the same as yours. And you don't need to worry if you work with someone who's neither. That is, what the assessment helps you do is realize the assessment of the person with whom you're speaking, regardless of whether or not you've got an assessment, right? We were having a meeting earlier today. It was Andrew and Mark and I. And sometimes you can't ask your boss to take the assessment or your boss's boss to take the assessment. But the assessment itself and the pages prior to your assessment itself help you understand more about the profile so you can glean that from the behaviors you're observing.
And if somebody isn't your boss or isn't your direct, that doesn't matter either. We divided it that way because bosses and directs have particular things that they do together, like meetings or evaluations. And we wanted to put those in. But if you have a peer who's a D and you read that working with D's bosses or working with D directs, you'll have a really good idea of how to work with that person, irrespective.
So next up, what can you do with this information? Now, it's important to know DISC isn't just a categorization of people. DISC tells you how you behave when you're not thinking about it, and how other people behave when they are not thinking about it. And we've already established that you are not the same at work as you are at home, so we already know that you can change your behavior when you think about it. What I oftentimes say when we're teaching conferences is the power to tailor your behavior is something you already possess. We're just leveraging it for more versatile, more diverse situations in this case. Now we know what other people think is important and how they see the world, so we can adapt our behavior to better suit theirs.
And in case you're thinking this sounds like an awful lot of effort, which is what the D's and the C's are thinking. Yeah. The I's and the S's are like, so yay, work. More people. But the D's and the C's are thinking, wow, this sounds hard. There's two things we've learned from teaching and practicing this with thousands of people. The first is moving towards someone else's behavior is important. Thinking about what they think is important, adapting to them makes them easier to understand for you. I'll give you an example. I'm a high D and my dad is a high C. He takes forever to do anything. He reads the instruction book four times before he even starts the project. And I've already got the boxes open, thrown the screws all over the place and are going, I don't understand any of this. And he hasn't finished reading the instruction book. And when I learned DISC, I suddenly learned he didn't do that just to wind me up. He did it because it made sense to him. And that's the power of DISC, is it tells you there's a different way to approach this, one that's never occurred to you, and that's what that other person is doing. And it gave me patience, because I could say, okay, he's doing his thing. I'm going to go in another room and I'll come back in 10 minutes. And I don't have to watch him read the instructions. I can just leave him to it and I'll come back when he's ready. And all of a sudden, all the drama went out of that. And you have the same at work. You know, if you're working with someone on a spreadsheet and they have to go back and reformat the column because it wasn't quite straight enough for them, and you think, that really wasn't necessary. When you discover they're a high C and to them it was necessary for good reasons, important. It suddenly makes them so much easier to understand and to work with.
Mm-hmm. And when you spend that time, when you think about the other person and what makes sense to them, and you're tailoring your behavior to be more effective, not only does it allow you the opportunity to forgive them, I'm going to say, in advance for those things that you might not otherwise, it also makes you more likable, right? That feeling that we as people have, I think all of us have it at some point or another, when you meet someone and you just click and you don't get it and you don't understand why, you just like them, that's probably because you're meeting someone that has a DISC profile that's quite similar to that of your own. And by moving toward the other person in a conversation, it's much more likely that you'll experience a click with people who don't necessarily have that same profile. And before you start thinking this is manipulative or it's inauthentic or whatever you're thinking it might be, it's none of those things. It's thoughtful. It's making sure that you're paying attention to another person's needs over your own. Mm-hmm. It's kind. It's generous. It's like making sure that you have someone's favorite drink in the house when they come to stay. And you never drink it any other time, but you make sure that you have it in the cupboards when they're over because they love it. Or it's like when you're in a different country and you say hello and goodbye and thank you in their language. It just makes life easier. It makes them see that you're really trying to show respect. It creates a click where one might not have existed before. And it means that you're much more likely to have a successful collaboration. There's nothing wrong with any of those things.
Exactly. And as I said before, it makes other people's behavior easier to understand. When a high D sent an email with two lines and no greeting and no sign off, she's probably not mad. If you know she's a high D, you know that what she's thinking is efficiency. I can get through this email in two lines and I'm done, which is what the aim is for them. A high C wonders, where's the context and how am I supposed to make a decision when there's hardly any data in this email? Neither are wrong. They just approach the situation from different perspectives. So if you're a high D and you know you're emailing a high C, yes, you need to put about 50 times more data in your email than you would naturally. And the high D, the high C will receive that email and think, oh, perfect, I've got everything I need.
Mm-hmm. That's absolutely right.
But knowing each other, you know, if a high D knows that the high C needs more data and they receive an email from the high C that's, you know, really long and the high D thinks, oh gosh, this is a scroll bar. I'm going to have to read all of this. And who knows where the question is?
This is a novel.
But wait a minute, that person's a high C. I get it. That's what they would have wanted to receive. And it just makes it easier to understand why people do things that seemingly are crazy.
Exactly. Folks, no, other people rarely act oddly just to wind you up. Right? People don't, when you send out an email, respond by saying, you used the wrong form of the verb there in the third paragraph. They don't do that just to make you irritated or to point out your errors. They have reasons. Even if they don't know what the reasons are, there are reasons. And if you understand what those reasons are, it can help you become more tolerant of other people who aren't like you.
So, and knowing someone's profile allows you to adapt in any circumstances. The best thing about DISC is we communicate with people all day long. And so you get to practice all day long. If you want your coffee quicker, or your child's school teacher to be more patient, or your doctor to take you seriously, knowing DISC helps because you can take in the information that you need to assess their profile in a couple of minutes and then adapt your behavior to theirs. And all of a sudden, you'll get more of what you want. Or at least you'll both get more of what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You'll seem much more reasonable to them. And you'll find that all of your relationships just miraculously improve.
Yeah, miraculously in air quotes, of course, because it comes with effort, but...
Yeah, your effort,
absolutely.
Right?
But your effort, absolutely.
Hey, folks, after you take Empty Desk, the next thing you got to do, you got to come to an ECC, Effective Communicator Conference. We leverage the Empty Desk, and then we put you in situations where you have to observe other people and see their behaviors for the first time. You won't believe the extent to which you've been surrounded by behaviors all your life. And you didn't even see him or hear him because you're too busy thinking ahead or what am I going to say and so on and all the conversations we have every day. So you're going to learn how to observe. You're going to learn how to analyze. You're also going to learn how to tailor your communication. Should I talk faster? Should I talk slower? It's easy to learn and it takes a discipline. And as I say, maybe the most important thing I ever learned in my professional career. So come to the website, check out various locations all over the country and overseas for our ECC.
So let's go into then vignettes of the four styles. Wendy, we're both D's. Do you want to do the D or do you want me to do the D? I feel like I'm stealing the food from your fridge
You do it and then I'll laugh at the others.
Okay, awesome. All right. High D. High D. D stands for dominance. People who are high D are very active in dealing with problems and challenges. High D people are often described as demanding, forceful, egocentric, strong-willed, driven, determined, ambitious, aggressive, pioneering, and D's like to get immediate results. Think, we're going to build this plane in flight. We don't have time to build it on the ground. We've got to get there. High D's make quick decisions. We move after objectives immediately, and we quickly find that we've gone off in the wrong direction and have to start again. But you know what? The faster you got to the wrong answer, the faster you'll get to the right answer. That's how D's think about it. And D's are just fine taking charge. They see themselves as problem solvers. They like to solve issues. They like to cross things off lists. Now, as you can imagine, the combination of all of these things creates a situation where others think of them as bossy. I get called bossy a lot. Bossy, intimidating, unapproachable, insensitive, impatient. And let's be honest, folks, Heidis are fine with that because we know we're the ones that get the real work done around here. If I'm not the one taking charge, nothing gets done. And they tell you what to do, they tell you a role, and they tell you the deadline. They come across as demanding because they rarely ask those questions. They always state those questions. They speak quickly, use acronyms so that we could speak even more quickly than we do, and they interrupt, which means we are fine being interrupted back. Physically, Heidis make big gestures, and they make a lot of eye contact with you, uncomfortable degrees of burning eye contact with you. Those are
your
D's.
We got to make sure that you've got the point, which is what I want you to do.
Mm-hmm, exactly. Last but not least, D's don't smile. D's don't have time for smiling. That is something that does not occur to our brain. I mean, we're too busy to smile, which oftentimes makes others think that we are distracted, disinterested, angry, annoyed. And we are.
We are, usually.
We are.
And there is some laughter here because this is all about our own behavior and we can laugh at our own behavior. That doesn't mean that any of this, we're not laughing at you, we're laughing with you because we've all got quirks and we've got some too. The next, if we're going round the circle, so the next one is high I, which stands for influence. And we said that each style has something in common with the two either side of it. So I's have in common with the D's that they are assertive, and they have in common with the S's that they are people focused. So people with high I's influence others through talking and activity. They're described as convincing, magnetic, political, enthusiastic, persuasive, warm, demonstrative, trusting, and optimistic. High I's always know someone who can help.
They got a guy for that.
Exactly. They make contacts and they network easily. They're the kind of people who get off a plane and have met five people on the plane, whereas a high D hasn't spoken to anyone since.
Why are you talking to people on the plane?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They inspire people and they motivate other people to act. Whereas a D would tell you to act, a high I makes you want to act.
Mm-hmm.
They're articulate, the kind of people about whom people say, oh, he could sell snow to Eskimos or those kind of phrases. They like to work in a group. And in fact, even if the person in the room isn't doing something with them, another person in the room helps them focus and get work done. Others see them starting a lot, but not finishing them. High I's are ideas people. They're the beginning. Mm-hmm. They're the impetus. They're the beginning of the project, but they don't like the ending or the middle where it's boring. They don't care about details, even important ones. They're the disorganized type, the ones who never have the right paper with them, the people who miss planes and think it's funny. But high I's are also assertive. So they also tell you what they want to do, but they often go on a tangent before they get there. They have to tell you a story about the time before they tell you what they want you to do. They talk about themselves a lot, but they are willing to share their relationships. They sound sometimes a little bit self-centered, but on the other hand, if you want their guy, they'll put you in touch with their guy.
Yeah.
They talk fast and long and loud, and they interrupt too. Just like high D's do. High I's think a great conversation is two people talking at the same time. And they're the kind who greet you with hugs and back slaps, and you've only met once before, or maybe you've never met at all, but they are so pleased to meet you. They smile like you're their best friend, and their emotions play all over their faces. In tell a high I just by their look on their face.
Yeah, you can. Jelly face. All right. That takes us then to S. In terms of that squared circle, it is in the bottom right corner, which means it shares with the I's that it is people-focused, shares with the C's that it is reserved. S stands for steadiness. People with high S want a steady pace. They want security, and they don't like sudden change. High S individuals are calm, relaxed, patient, possessive, predictable, deliberate, stable, and consistent. They're great team players. They're incredibly empathetic and sensitive to the needs of others. I often think of them as like the den mother of your organization, that person that plays organizational sounding board, right? They're always there to support their coworkers or their colleagues who might be upset about something.
I've got a special cushion.
Yes, exactly. They're methodical, they're consistent, and they're predictable. These types of behaviors cause others to potentially see them as indecisive or indirect. High S's, even as managers, don't like to impose change. They like to talk about change. All of the ideas, all of the conversations should be had. It is a democracy on our team. They're resistant to change, and they do tend to lack in assertiveness. High S's keep teams together, and they're really good at giving you the emotional temperature of the team. If you think people might be upset, ask the high S. The high S knows.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone's gone to the high S and has vented at them. The S knows. High S's like to ask questions, and they like to talk about you and we as opposed to themselves while using everyone's names. They're great at names, as are the I's. They chat, they share relationships like I's do, but in a much more low-key way, in a much more, oh, I know the person for that job. I've got someone that can help you with that, no problem.
Yeah, he's a right? friend of mine. He's a wonderful person.
Exactly. He's got 3 kids. I will put you in contact. They talk more softly, more slowly, and they wait for agreement. They oftentimes ask more questions in respect to feedback. If I did this, would that be of help? Or what can I do to assist? Physically, their gestures tend to be smaller and they make less eye contact. In terms of their facial expression, they smile and nod a lot. They listen attentively and they have all of their attention focused on you.
So now we've done 3 out of 4 of the styles. And if you have listened to yours and thought, well, why would anyone want to be any of the others? Because, no, why would we want some slow people? Or why would we want people who go so fast they go in the wrong direction? A team full of D's would never get anywhere because all they do is fight. Mm-hmm. A team full of I's would never get anywhere because all they do is party. A team full of S's would never get anywhere because they would be too busy asking each other how they feel to do anything. And a team of all C's would never get anywhere because they do all of the analysis forever and never take action. You need all 4, or you need a combination in order to make progress. You can't have only people like you around you because you really won't get anything done.
Mm-hmm.
The final profile is the high C's. So these are the conscientious people. They have in common with the high S's that they are reserved, and in common with the high D's that they are task focused. And so they are in the bottom left of our squared circle. And the high part is nomenclature for this is the part that's strongest. It doesn't mean anything. High, medium, or low doesn't particularly mean anything in this system. It just means this is the one that we see most in you. And if you have 2 profiles, a lot of people have 2. So, and they're usually the ones that are in common with each other. So a D in this, you might be a DC, you might be a DI. A DS is much less common. So some people have 2 that they kind of go between, or they might use different aspects in different circumstances. Mark is a DI, and so he tends to be a D at work and an I, you know, after work. Sometimes it benefits you because you can understand other, you can work with a wider range of people naturally, but because we can all make changes, it doesn't really matter. It's the flexibility that matters, not the style.
It's the willingness to change your behavior, not the natural style.
Having made all the high C's wait.
Yeah, I know.
I'll not go through that very well. Sorry, high C's. So people with a high C adhere to the rules, the regulations, and the structure. I have a friend who's a high C. We arrived at an airport on a tropical island, and there was a line to go for passport control. There was a sign that said line up, and my friend was apoplectic that people weren't lining up in order, because that's what the sign said, and that's what the rules said, and that's what people should be doing. And that's what the high C's like her were doing, and the D's and I's were just doing whatever they like.
Whatever we want.
High C's do quality work, and they do it right first time. That means they take longer, but they get it right. They are careful, cautious, exacting, neat, systematic, diplomatic, accurate, and tactful. They are knowledgeable, even about the details of a system or a project. And they're diplomatic because they approach people more slowly, they wait for more information, they have less emotion on their face. Usually they have a flatter affect. And so that means that people can't tell what they're thinking so much, and therefore they tend to start less arguments than Ds do, for example. Others see them as perfectionist, aloof, and lacking in creativity. Although that's not true, because some of the most creative people I know are high Cs. They just take longer to get there. Mm-hmm. They ask questions in order to understand situations fully before they give an opinion. They don't chat. They don't waste words. They tend to write emails rather than having conversations, because an email allows them to go slower and be accurate and check it before, whereas a conversation, you have to think and talk at the same time. They talk more quietly and slowly than others, with long pauses. Like that. They like to prove their points with data. They'll tell you some political view because here's the people who support that. Whereas a high I will go, that bloke's got a great suit. That's why I support him. Pisces tend to move around less than other styles. They make smaller gestures and much less eye contact.
All right. So to wrap it up, I know we've said this many times.
But this is none the important
thing. I know, right? None of the profiles are better. None of the profiles are worse. We're all equally as strong, equally as weak, and we need each other to get things done. And at Manager Tools, we love DISC. It's a great way of understanding and working more effectively with other people. It's an easy system to learn. There are literally two questions. Is this person assertive or reserved? Want to know that? Are they task-focused or people-focused? Which makes it easy to learn, easy to understand, and easy to adapt your behavior so that you can get better results. The one thing it asks of you is to make the effort.
And both Sarah and I, and pretty much everyone at Manager Tools, says letting DISC changed our careers. So it's absolutely worth the effort, promise.
It is.
Thanks, Sarah.
Thank you, Wendy.
Bye, everyone.